This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving right along here.
Thanks for listening to my show. I appreciate it. Thanks to everybody watching. We had around 900 people watching live. We're at 888 right now. That's a good omen. 888. 888-808-1019. Growing up, my favorite number was 8. Playing quarterback as a little boy all the way through high school. I wore the Ocho. Keith McPherson on the fan. We got to get these calls in on the Yankees facial hair policy. It is what it is. It does not matter. None of us have the power to make the Yankees do anything. And none of the players want to be the player to have any type of issue or problem with the organization by bringing up anything. They all do fall in line. But you do hear stories about Don Mattingly or Thurman Munson. And I just know there's going to be a free agent or someone they trade for down the line. Especially, like I said, I lean into these younger kids, Gen Z. There's going to be a Gen Z baseball player that when we get older is just known for his look and his swag and his aura. We have basketball players and football players that paint their nails now. And as much as people want to talk about Ryan Williams from Alabama, and him painting his nails, he's got 2.3 million dollars in NIL deals. He's a rich freshman football player that now has an NIL deal with a nail polish company, and he just put out a commercial painting his nails. It's accepted. Jared McCain, who played for Duke, shot the lights out. Gets drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. He's huge on TikTok. He dances and he paints his nails. He plays basketball with red, white, and blue nail paint on. They call him the Zesty Hooper. He's accepted. You know what I'm saying? These kids are rocking with him. So I'm telling you, in 10, 15, 20 years, what happens? I mean, I guess nail polish would be fine, right? We've had some catchers wear nail polish. But what happens in 10, 15 years where there's a long-haired baseball player or a guy that's beard gang that has deals with brands and a social media presence and like that is a part of his image, his aura, his moxie, his swag, his being? What will the Yankees do with the facial hair policy when they have to, you know, be challenged by a player that they need to win? Larry is in Freehold, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Keith. How you doing? Long-time listener. I'm a big fan of you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Not to harp on this facial hair policy thing here, but as you're talking about it, I'm a police officer here in Monmouth County, and a lot of these police departments are also turning over to no facial hair policy, and you know, it seems like those are the types of police departments that, you know, younger guys are attracted to these days. And I just think that like the Yankees and sports organizations, you know, should follow that type of path. You know, it's the old school facial hair policy. It's just not in anymore. And I think if the Yankees filed something like that, it would be better.
It's outdated. A lot of the response that I heard online, I have people in the military that are like, hey, they're letting us grow our beards. Because I said, you know, it's pro ball. It's not the military. And I had a couple people say, hey, even in the military, they're giving us the freedom to, like, grow out our beards a bit. It's not a hill we're dying on. It's not something that they, you know, are really looking at anymore. Like, there was a time where people were judged because of their tattoos. You know, there are literally laws in place now in the workplace where you can't be discriminated for your natural hair. It's just where we have gotten to as a society.
Yep. And I agree with you. And it's a thing of the past, in my opinion. And there's, there's some old timers that believe in it. And, you know, I'm an old soul myself, but I just feel it's just one of those things that just got to, you know, be put in the bag and move on and, you know, just go from there and just allow it. It's just not worth losing good players over.
Thanks for the call, Larry. And, you know, filling me in on police departments. And I know the Yankees are not the police. The Yankees are not the military. But, like, exactly. It's baseball. It's a game. It's entertainment. You know, we talk so much about the Yankees not having a City Connect uniform, right? Last night I was talking about Candelita, and this will give me an opportunity to speak on Jose Iglesias and Nick Castellanos saying that that guy should have been the National League MVP. And J.D. Martinez going on the podcast with Joel Sherman and John Heyman talking about how when he came up with the Mets last year, they were both in the minors. And when he got to the Mets, he told Carlos Mendoza, hey, you got to bring this guy up. He's a chatter guy. He's got a lot of energy. He talks, he dances, he's got a song. Like, if you want to change the vibes around here, that's the type of veteran, that's the type of energy you need in this clubhouse. He said once they brought him up and they won, joking around, they played OMG in the clubhouse, and guys liked it, and they're like, that's you, and next thing you know, it became a catchy theme song, and then the signs get made, and it becomes a home run celebration. The Yankees don't have a home run celebration. Are they not allowed? Or at least they don't have a prop. Are they not allowed to celebrate home runs? They hit a lot of them. Are they not allowed to have something? Like, the Seattle Mariners have a trident. Shohei Ohtani, when he was with the Angels, they had a samurai helmet. The Blue Jays have a stupid jacket that they put on. In Detroit, they have a literal sponsorship with Little Caesars Pizza Pizza, and they have the Little Caesars pizza that they celebrate with. If you watch baseball, you know, right? Like, there are a bunch of different things like that, but it's like the Yankees are too buttoned up to have anything like that. Well, like, I don't understand what it does. Like, being buttoned up and disciplined. You know, I leaned into last night. Okay, you're buttoned up and disciplined. You have all these rules. You used to make the team travel wearing sport coats and suits. They don't do that anymore. That's what George wanted. And, you know, that's not a thing. And then, you know, you talk about being disciplined and the team and everybody falling in line. Brian Cashman just told us that they traded for Jazz Chisholm to play second base. And Gleyber Torres went to the media and told the media, I'm a second baseman. I'm not changing positions. And so Aaron Boone acquiesced, and they put Jazz Chisholm at third base for the first time for a team that is trying to win the World Series. So, like, you can't make Gleyber play third base, but you can make everybody shave their face. Wellesley is in Connecticut on the fan. What's up, Wellesley?
What's up, my K-Mac? How you doing, bro?
Hanging out, watching some hockey, talking to everybody, having a good time.
You know, the facial hair thing. Listen, I don't care. I gotta be honest with you.
I really don't care either. It's just a good, you know, conversation.
I'm an old school Yankee fan, you know. But I just want to give you a little bit of a gift that I, that I'm doing for you, because you are a class act. But you know, it goes a little something like this: D-Mac attacks the radio mic like Stahl back, thinking of a hike. He's a throwback. He'll get you right with sports, stats, and facts.
It could be continued, brother.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Wellesley. We got to get Austin Wells to be called Wellesley by Aaron Boone, so Wellesley from Connecticut can feel like, you know, he's got that, you know, part of the team. Bam, 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 bam. We got people rapping on the show. I'm due for some bars. You know, I don't have the time, man. When I leave here, I got to try and sleep. I got to try and work out. I got to try and put a show together. I got to try and be a dad. I got to try and be a husband. And I get all these people, yo, when are you going to rap? I'm like, not for nothing. I was doing those raps every Friday for the NFL picks, and that was a stretch. I'm on rap hiatus. I'm on a little break. But when you least expect it, one time the beat is going to play from a rejoin, and I'm just rap for like 60 seconds about whatever, you know? Sal is in Garfield, New Jersey. Sal, you're on the fan. Tell us something.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'm an old soul. I'm 65 years old, and I believe that sports are going down the tubes, especially baseball. With the long hair, these guys that play well with their hair down the middle of their backs, I can't stand it. Not only everybody, the whole league, they should have their hair cut to their collars. The professional ball players making millions of dollars. They want to friggin' explain themselves. They got the whole offseason to have their hair down to their rear ends. When they're playing ball, they should be dressed like professionals. The sports jackets in the airport, you're representing the team, you're representing the league. Dress like a man, act like a man. Could you imagine Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, these guys walk around with head down their mag, nails polished. They look like a bunch of sweethearts. It's like you're watching girls softball. That's number one. Number two.
Thanks for the call, Sal. I don't know where you're going to go next. I don't know where you're going to go next. I wasn't alive when Mickey Mantle was playing. It was a different time. I understand. We need some more hard-nosed men out here. We need some mans. We need some testosterone, some masculinity out here. But I see the world around me and I understand it. I see the world changing around me and I get it. And there is much more of that than what you just heard from Sal. It is what it is. 888-808-1019. You know, to tell, you know, and I think you said explain yourself, but you mean express themselves, right? If they want to express themselves, like, no, like, that's part of the game now, right? We're talking about guys flipping bats. We're talking about guys having different color cleats and gloves. And I talked about that last night. The Yankees, they did start to bend a little bit. The team is allowed to have seafoam green accents. And Jazz Chisholm is allowed to come in with a green belt and pink glove. And that's okay. And they told Jazz, be who you are. Right? They told Jazz, don't change. We want you to be comfortable. We want you to be yourself. Well, what if Devin Williams, who you need to get the last three outs of every game to feel comfortable, to be himself, ideally, he needs to have a little bit of a beard. But he's not going to push back against that. And I said, you know what? I think I took a stance on this because I got to hang out with Devin Williams for a few minutes at American Dream at the Hall of Fame signings Pinstripe Pride event. And seeing how much of a dog he is on the mound, but then getting to hang out with him, he's soft-spoken, he's humble, he's quiet as kept. He is not very outward, he's not an extrovert. And I almost felt bad for the guy. I'm like, man, this is cruel. This guy has had this beard for so long. It is almost cruel that he's got to shave it and like become a different version of himself. And maybe not the best version of himself. And we need the best version of himself. So, yeah. Tony's up in Montreal on the fan. What's up, Tony?
I'm not going to rap for you. I could do it in French, though, but I'll save you the pain. Listen, I love the long-haired guys. I'm 65. I've been following baseball. I had a beard when I was 17. I had a mustache when I was going through college. I played hockey with a mustache. I had a good time. I have long hair. My favorite player was a guy that played for WHA. It was Derek Sanderson. He was the first kind of like, you know, fad kind of guy, a playboy kind of guy with long hair, handlebar mustache. And I just want to throw back a bit. Custard, when he fought, he had long blonde hair. He had a big handlebar mustache. No one didn't call him a man. You know, and you talk about the military that they're letting beards go. Finley out in the Oakland Athletics had his whole team, Joe Rudy, with long hair and beards. And if I remember well, Billy Martin had a little mustache too when he was managing, and so did Thurman Munson. I believe that Reggie had a little thing going on too. So I don't see how that impacts. If you can hit 50 home runs, 40 home runs, and you happen to have a little bit of longer hair and you have this little attitude about it, I'm fine with that, Keith. I think it looks good. It shows individualism. And when I was coaching, and I coached all the way from the 70s all the way up, and you grow as a manager and a coach. I like to grow with my players. I want to be connected to my players. I don't want to be like a stodgy old cigar sitting on the top of a shelf. I want to be with the boys, and I want to be part of that, and I want to feel connected. And I think that you're right. society changed, and so was baseball players, and so are hockey players. And if not for Derek Sanderson, they'd all be short hair. And Derek Sanderson took a lot of beatings for that when he went to the Bruins and when he went to the Rangers. But he's still an icon. He was my favorite player, bro. I loved him.
Thanks for the call, Tony. And I mean, that was a lot, and I've cleared the conversation on facial hair and the Yankees hair policy. I'd like to move on from it and close it with this. It's not changing. The Yankees are not changing it. They've done it for years, and you know, there are 29 teams in the New York Yankees. They can march to the beat of their own drum. They can do things differently. They don't have to fold or change for anybody. Juan Soto wants a suite. No, you don't get a suite. This is how we've done things forever. When the time comes that somebody does challenge the beard policy, it's not going to be so that they can look like, you know, a long-haired, long beard. It's just going to be, you know, gradual. And that's where I feel like we need to go next. Somewhat of a beard and stubble. Not James Harden's beard. Some hair length. But like it's like the type of thing, you know it when you see it. If it's too much, you know it when you see it. It's not disrespecting anybody. It's not unprofessional. It is letting men actually be men and letting these guys express themselves and look how they want to look and be comfortable out there. If you can let these guys wear different color sliding mitts and gloves and cleats and that's not uniform, then having everybody uniform shaving their face, which is so much more personal because, like, they leave with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I talked about Rougned Odor and his daughter not recognizing him. They leave with that. You know, they got to go home with the baby face. They got to go home with that. And I just think that there are players out there that would actually speak out if they do change it and express how happy they are that the Yankees changed it. I know my guy Cameron Maybin was doing a lot of campaigning. Cameron Maybin actually was kind of upset because he was like, hey, I mentioned this last year. Right, I'll read his tweet so we can kind of close this. He said, I'm confused. I'm seeing so many diehard Yankee fans. And I think he was specifically talking about me and my guy, Joe's McFly, because he could have put the screenshot up without including our replies. But he's saying, I'm seeing so many diehard Yankee fans complaining about Devin Williams and the facial hair policy. But when I mentioned players talking about how they were not a fan of it, I was killed. And he goes back to 2023, December 7th. And he says, this might be an unpopular take to Yankee fans, but you'd be surprised how much more attractive the Yankees would be if they got rid of that facial hair rule. You wouldn't believe how many quality players just think it's a whack rule to have. I mean, come on, we're coming up on 2024. Let that go already, and I swear it would be more appealing. Again, this only comes from conversations I've had and experience from actually playing. This is somebody that was a Yankee, was in that clubhouse. This is a guy that played so many seasons and for a few different teams and is so connected with players in the league. He ain't just making it up. He isn't a fan talking. He's a former player talking. He's a commentator talking. And he's someone that's speaking from actual experience with this. It sounds better coming from him. There will come a time that the Yankees have to bend the rules and let guys grow their beard hair out a little bit instead of just telling them, nope, this is the way it's always been. You have to conform. You have to fall in line. 888-808-1019. When we come back, we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers, the 2 years of Aaron Rodgers, the end of Aaron Rodgers, how the Jets signed off with Aaron Rodgers, what they do next. And now we have two teams in this city that have no idea really what they're going to do at the most important position on the field, right? The quarterback wins MVP. The quarterback wins Super Bowl MVP. If you don't have that guy, you don't have anything. There's a rumor out there about Matthew Stafford being traded to the Giants. When we come back, we'll play the audio of Colin Cowherd putting this rumor out there, and we'll take your calls on the Jets, on the Giants, and still any calls that I have left about the Yankees and their lineup construction and where guys are playing, and even a little bit more on Alex Bregman and the Red Sox and, you know, how I think the Red Sox are looking this year. Keith McPherson on the Fan, halfway through another 5 hour KM to AM. We'll be back right after this. Yeah, buddy. Still rolling. Let's get back into it. 888-808-1019. It's still 1-1 with about 14 minutes left in the second period. United States versus Finland in the Four Nations face-off. Opened up the show talking about Marcus Stroman and how all the conversation around him is much about nothing. He could potentially show up Saturday, and who cares? He's a non-factor on the team. It's pretty much a wrap. It's over. But I understand if you want to hate just to hate and you want to talk down on the guy, you're going to do that, and you have the right to. I don't mind the guy spending a little extra time with his family, his son, and, you know, not being there to watch other guys throw bullpen sessions. Of course, we got into the conversation around the Yankees that we've been having for months. Who's going to lead off? How confident are we in our internal options for third base? Are the Yankees now going to trade for Nolan Arenado? Because if you're paying attention, the Boston Red Sox, they kind of went for it this offseason. They know, right? They have this Netflix documentary coming out, or this Netflix series coming out April 8th. I think they're in line to host the All-Star game in 3 years. They're trying to get their fans back into it. The American League is so wide open, they say. It's a guarantee that the Yankees are just going back to the World Series. So, of course, Boston has something to say about that. They go and add Alex Bregman last night, and many Yankee fans are calling for the Yankees to counter, to respond, and I don't think the Yankees are going to respond. I just think the Yankees are just going to go with what they got. But I could be wrong. Jason Dominguez to lead off, Jazz Chisholm to lead off, Cody Bellinger to lead off, Volpe to lead off, Judge to lead off. You know, the outfield set up with Bellinger in center instead of left, Dominguez in left instead of center. Who's going to be the backup catcher? No questions about the rotation and the depth with the bullpen and the pitching that the Yankees have. They've got too many arms ready for the games to start so we could actually see. And now that it's 9:30 and we're on the second half of my show, we got to talk a little football. I know we're over it. I know the Jets and Giants seasons were miserable. And here we are again talking about an unknown future, a GM and a head coach that are really on the hot seat and have to have a magnificent offseason, and a brand new GM and head coach that are off to a pretty hot start as far as blazing their own trail, creating their own culture, and moving away from a polarizing figure in Aaron Rodgers. So let's start with the Giants. Let's start with Colin Cowherd and what he said today on his show in regards to the number 3 overall pick and the rumors you've been hearing about Matthew Stafford since the Giants hired his brother-in-law, Chad Hall, a wide receivers coach that'll now be the Giants quarterback coach. And since everybody heard Kelly Stafford talk about wanting respect for her husband and being up for an adventure and maybe it's time for them to leave LA and whatever. Let's play Colin Cowherd talking about what he knows as far as a potential trade between the Rams and the Giants.
Yesterday I was talking to a longtime NFL exec, and he said, this is not crazy, okay? The Rams like Matt Stafford, but they're tiring of the constant quarterback talk, his wife saying things publicly. They're not real happy with Cooper Kupp. Going public was something they tried to keep quiet. They're kind of over Cooper Kupp, and with that, a little bit Matt Stafford. They like him, but they don't want to restructure his deal and give him a big contract. Meanwhile, the Giants do not like the quarterback class, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, and Joe Shane, the GM, have got to win or they'll be fired by Thanksgiving. Okay, they're going to get run out of the building, because if they don't have a quarterback, Washington now is big time. Philadelphia will steamroll them. The Packers, the Bears, the Rams, NFC's getting better, and the Giants have some good players. So they are going to make a move, I believe, on Matt Stafford. And the first person to talk about this on the air was J-Mac. I'm going to give him credit on this. He was like 5 days ago. So what the Rams want, I'm told, they want the Giants' first-round pick at number 3. So they probably want a first, a second, a first, a third. But you got to pay Stafford. If you're the Giants, you have to give him a new deal. They'll probably get a first and a fourth. But let's just talk about that number 3 pick. The Rams want that number 3 pick in the draft, because they're drafting way later. They want to take that pick, move down, and get more picks. Why? So they have extra picks for next year when they have to move up to get a quarterback. So what the Rams will be in the market for if Matt Stafford moves is a 1 to 2 year rental at quarterback.
Okay, I've heard enough. 888-808-1019. So a few things. The number 3 overall pick that the New York Giants certainly earned this year. If you ask me, there's no way in God's green earth that they can trade that pick for a 36-year-old quarterback who has played his entire career indoors, who is starting to wear his welcome out because his wife has a podcast and she takes their pillow talk to the internet. A guy that would come here for a team that is nowhere near being ready to win, with the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL, the longest odds to win the Super Bowl. I don't even have to say anything else. That just sounds preposterous. Colin Cowherd is great, though. I think he announced a move. He's leaving L.A. or something, and he's got his Volume Network, and they're doing some big things. They're signing hip-hop podcasts now. They just brought in Rory and Mal's podcast, a podcast. So shout-out to Colin Cowherd. But, like, for any Giants fan listening to that, the number 3 pick could be, let's not even say Shedeur Sanders. And we'll play some new music from Shedeur Sanders, who may be the fill-in for Candelita in New York. We lose one music star. We got another one potentially in the making. But obviously, we know at number 3, you could draft Shedeur Sanders. You could draft Abdul Carter there. You could draft Travis Hunter there. Maybe you draft Cam Ward there. Maybe you trade back. And I would not play with the Rams. They are hella good at finding gems in the draft in the later rounds. That's what they do. I would not play around with a potential Matthew Stafford. No, I just think there's no way that the Giants that we just talked about, their head coach and GM, that could be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fired by Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving? Matthew Stafford is old. He's been hurt plenty of times in his career. You give up the number 3 pick for him, and he gets hurt week 4, you don't make it to Thanksgiving. 888-808-1019. So I hope we eventually stop this. I think that the Rams will figure out a way to bring Stafford back, because they've been a playoff team. Like, they won a Super Bowl with him. They've got young talent. They're not going anywhere yet. I understand they want to move away from Cooper Kupp. They're not a package deal, Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. Maybe their wives hang out. So what? But I don't think there's any way that the Giants are entertaining that. And I also think it's cap to say that the Giants don't like this quarterback class. They better like it. They better pick somebody. They better find one guy they like and go after him. And now for the Jets, man, the way they signed off with Aaron Rodgers. Like, obviously we heard on Super Bowl Sunday that, like, Aaron Rodgers is not coming back. And then I think it was Tuesday we heard, you know, the deal breaker was that he wanted to continue doing Pat McAfee. And, you know, he probably has an ayahuasca trip already planned for this summer where he's not going to be at all the minicamps. So new regime comes in. They got to establish their, you know, dominance and authority and voice. Ooh, I'm watching this Four Nations game. It's getting a little chippy. The guys just jumped onto the ice to give this guy from Finland some. The Jets put out a tweet: "For everything you've given us the past 2 years, thank you, 8. Shout out to Coach Latrella, who calls, and he starts his calls. He calls me 8. Everything you've given us the past 2 years, anxiety, depression, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, The Jets crack me up, man. Like, I know it's a new head coach, a new GM, but just like, I don't know, maybe someone else does their social media. But anyway, they also have the, you know, joint statement from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. Last week, we met with Aaron and shared that our intention was to move in a different direction at quarterback. It was important to have this discussion now to provide clarity, enable each of us the proper time to plan for our respective futures. We want to thank him for the leadership, passion, and dedication he brought to the organization and wish him success moving forward. Okay. But, like, he didn't bring that to you guys. You guys were just high and by. And I guess you had to do right by him, in-person meeting. But there's a lot of folks that are saying that this is a Woody Johnson decision. From when we heard in The Athletic that Woody Johnson wanted him benched week four, that him and Woody Johnson aren't on good terms. So Woody Johnson also put out a statement. He said, I personally want to thank Aaron for his time at the New York Jets. His arrival in 2023 was met with unbridled excitement, and I will forever be grateful that he chose to join us to continue his Hall of Fame career. From day one, he embodied all that it meant to be a New York Jet, embraced our fans, and immersed himself in our city. That is what I will remember most when I look back at his time here. He will always be welcome, and I will wish him only the best in whatever he chooses to do next. So you won't remember any of the moments on the field, really. And I don't, it's an interesting end and send off from the Jets. They better have a plan B. They absolutely better have a plan B. Mario, Long Beach, back on the Fan. What's up, man?
What's going on, my friend? Good to see you as always.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. You know, I got a comment about the Jets, but I'm a tennis fan. Do you like tennis at all? You don't watch any of it?
No, I can't say that I've really gotten into tennis much. I've been to...
You know what's very interesting about tennis, though, that's different than any other sport? It's very difficult. You got to play by yourself. It's international, so you're in different time zones. You're never at home. There's no time limit on a match. I've seen matches 5 hours that the guys are playing for five hours. And the greatest thing about it, you get no prima donnas. You know why, Keith? There's no prima donnas there?
Why?
You don't. If you don't play, you don't get paid.
Yeah, the checks don't
come
in.
You got to be in the tournament. You can't sit down and say, I got a $50 million contract, my back hurts, I'm going to sit home for a month and get full pay. It doesn't go that way, you know? So they got
to
pay.
Yeah, I mean, all respect to it. I've been to the U.S. Open one time. I'm not a big tennis guy. I never played. Couldn't tell you too much about, you know, any tennis. But go on.
Yeah, but, okay. In terms of the Jets, What I think I would do is I like Justin Fields. I think they should have went after him rather than when they went after the quarterback. They went after
Zach Wilson.
Wilson, yeah. So I think he's obtainable. So what I would do is I would bring him in, and I will let Taylor start. And I would do what they did. Do you remember what they did? I don't know. I'm a little bit older than you, but do you remember what Drew Brees did with the, he had Tyson Hill there too. Bring him in on packages too. When he's Tyrod Taylor starting, let him go for short yards, do other things to get in a running quarterback. Let him get used to playing a little bit, and then maybe a transition to him. Listen, the future of the NFL is the running quarterback. Look at what we got: Hurts, running quarterback; Lamar Jackson, running quarterback; Daniels, running quarterback. That's the future of the NFL. A mobile quarterback. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mary. I was joking. Smoking on that Joe Burrow pack. The future of the NFL is running quarterbacks because these defensive linemen run 4-4. Can't be a sitting duck. Yeah, I know. Lamar, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. Why'd I skip Jalen Hurts? He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP, and he did a good job running the ball. I'll say this, man. Justin Fields would be great on either side of New York. I think it's obvious he's got to come to New York, kill two birds with one stone, meet with the Jets, meet with the Giants. And yeah, you know, I wouldn't say you give Tyrod the starting job. Maybe you give him the first string reps, but you have them compete. You have them compete. Tyrod is 35 years old. He's a veteran. And you see who wins the job. And even if Tyrod wins the job, yeah, sure. You just saw they had packages for Justin Fields with Russell Wilson. Short yardage, some runs, some goal line stuff. I could dig it. I could see it. The Jets have to win now. The Giants have to win now. And it's just hard on February 13th to envision how they win in this league without a quarterback. All the teams that win have that guy. 888-808-1019. So now we're taking your calls on the Jets, on the Giants. Conversation around the Matthew Stafford trade for the number 3 overall pick that the Giants have. Conversation around the Jets sending off Aaron Rodgers, and they know they're not going to find another Hall of Famer quarterback anywhere around here, anywhere in the league, but I think that they've got to really just blaze their own trail, and they can't have a guy who's bigger than the head coach and his voice and his presence in the room, and they'll figure out some kind of way to have a quarterback that's 1 of 53. Keith McPherson on the Fan, call me up. We'll be right back. Okay, quickly here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm going to take a couple calls, and then we got to go to the 10 p.m. break and update. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to get in on the football conversation. We're about to start talking about the New York quarterback search and some other needs for both the Jets and the Giants, potential trades, potential draft picks, all that good stuff coming up in this next hour. Let me try to get my last two Yankee calls out of the way. Something I did want to read. Shout out to the New York Yankees for keeping me in the loop. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. But I am part of the media. I do get these emails. And I was like, man, I wish I could have been down there today for the debut of the new renovations. So the Yankees completely flipped their spring training facility. And good for the Tampa Bay Rays, who that will be their ballpark. Crazy enough, right? The Yankees work on all these upgrades, and then a storm tears up Trashicana Field, and now the Rays are the beneficiaries. I know, and they're paying $15 million. Shout out to my boy Alex. After he saw all the videos online, he's like, we might need another $5 million. So the Yankees now have state-of-the-art renovations, and they've expanded their player field staff and baseball operations facilities. They remodeled, relocated, and expanded the best-in-class equipment area, the weight room, medical and training facilities, female locker room, indoor-outdoor dining area, and the family lounge. Additionally, there are new player and staff multi-purpose meeting rooms, a new dedicated clubhouse kitchen, and new offices to accommodate members of the baseball operations department. If you follow any of the beat writers, any of the reporters, I follow them all. They were getting an opportunity to get a tour today, and I was extremely jealous. I'm like, I want to go. But then I saw something, and I was like, this is the last day that media will be allowed to walk through, because once all the players report, they're going to be in there. So shout out to the Yankees. You know, they can make guys shave their facial hair, because if you want access to this state-of-the-art renovations and all of these things, from the weight room to the hot tubs to the dining hall to the meeting rooms, you got to shave the beard to come in here, and I would. Honestly, I would. 888-808-1019. My guy Ben in Connecticut is back on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith? I'm actually going down to that spring training facility you talk about in a couple of weeks. Can't wait.
Yeah, I won't get down there till the week of March 17th. I just got some other things I got to handle, and I've gone down there so many years where it's still cold. I know it's actually kind of warm down there now. I don't like going down there when it's cold. Like, what's the point of leaving the cold and then going down there wearing hoodies? Like, I want to go to the beach. I want to be in the pool. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to, like, wear a t-shirt.
Totally. I've been down there where it's a swing and a miss, and other times where it's great. But, you know, I got baseball fever, man. I'm a huge Yankee fan, and like you, I go to a ton of games every year. I'll probably be, 40 games this year. So I'm the kind of guy, like, I love the regular season. Like, I'm not one of those fans where it's like, obviously we're Yankee fans, so it is World Series or bust, but it's not like I don't have a good time the whole season. I do. My eyes are on the next game ahead. And that's why, about Bregman to the Red Sox, I'm actually kind of excited about it. I just think it adds a little more juice to the rivalry, which has been dormant for a little while. Recently at the stadium the last couple of years, maybe you agree with me, Yankees Red Sox is always fun, obviously, but it's living off the old days still. And this kind of adds a little extra spark this year. We have to boo Bregman a little bit, and the Sox actually have a pretty good lineup, man. I mean, their top 4 or 5 hitters in that lineup are good. They got a couple big prospects that they hope to come up this year. So, I think this adds a lot of juice, and I think Yankee Red Sox games will be back, and I can't be more excited for it.
Good call, Ben. Especially you being up there in Connecticut, you're in closer proximity to some of those dirty water fans. I'm down for it. I don't, you know, I'm not someone that like isn't into the rivalry. Like it is what it is. Here's a projected lineup. I'll say this about the Red Sox series: it's a premium series. There are always hella casuals at that series. Like I used to avoid the Red Sox series and the Mets series because there's just a bunch of people that want to go there and like start fights and like yeah, and they don't know anybody coming out of the bullpen. They just want to wear a Red Sox hat. They want to wear a Yankees hat and talk trash to somebody. And there's a lot of riffraff. And I used to sit up in the 400 level, 300 level, and it could get crazy up there. Let's see. United States just took the lead with 2:56 left in the second period. The United States goes up 2-1 in the Four Nations faceoff. Projected lineup for the Boston Red Sox. Leading off in left field, Jarren Duran. Batting second, playing third base, probably going to DH some. Rafael Gerrit Cole, who's your daddy, Devers. Batting third, boo, cheater. Trash can banger. Playing second base like he's Dustin Pedroia, Alex Bregman. Batting fourth, playing first base, Tristan Casas. Batting fifth, playing shortstop, Trevor Story. Batting sixth, the DH, Masataka Yoshida. Batting seventh, Will Abreu in right field. Batting eighth and catching, Connor Wong. And batting ninth, playing center field, Seidan Rafaela. I guess their pitching scares me more than their lineup. Top of that lineup is what it is. Maybe the rivalry comes back. Let me sneak in this last call before we break. Jimmy in Forked River, you got it.
Hey, I just wanted to say on the air one more time, Pete Alonso. I don't think I ever heard a name said more often than that last week. And more importantly, how about the fact that we look at the Yankees as having class? It's a first-class organization, always has been, always will be. Sure, they'll bend a little bit with the culture. And I'm a 69-year-old man, but I'm not cranky. But I look at that franchise as always being a first-class thing.
Sure.
And then secondly...
No disrespect to the people with beards. We think you have class as well.
Yeah, but maybe it's an image. And I mean, it's about everything that they do, like we just heard about the spring training facility. That kind of thing would make me want to be a Yankee. And then I wanted to also let you know, I'm the president of the Marco Belletti Fan Club, and you and I met down in the Stone Pony with Paul O'Neill, so it's just great to be on the air with you.
Oh, yeah, I remember, because, I mean, not everybody is, you know, calling out Marco Belletti's name, and I'm a big Marco Belletti fan as well. Whenever Marco is on, Marco's in here. Whenever Marco is on, I tune in. I try to promote his shows. There are not that many Yankee fans here. Marco represents us very well.
And he's been that way for life.
Thanks for the call, Jim. We're up against it. We got a break. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I think we'll get an update from Marco Belletti. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.